I think about the necessity for us to receive strength. I think about how depleting life is, how exhausted we get. You start up in the morning, you know, you throw down a cup of coffee, and, you know, before the middle of the day, it's like, oh, man, there's fatigue, and that's actually the reward of hard work. But interestingly about God, the Bible says some amazing things about his characteristics. For example, he never slumbers nor sleeps, and he sits in heaven and laughs, so he doesn't lapse into depression. He doesn't grow weary or faint. He's inexhaustible. The God you and I serve, the Bible message that we embrace tells us that God, our God, is the Lord of hosts. He's mighty. And he's not weak toward us, but he's mighty in us. And in fact, when he comes into a person's life, he actually imparts something of strength and substance to actually cause us to be able to run with endurance the race that's set before us while we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Realizing that you guys have been through vicissitudes and issues of life, realizing how challenging it is to be single in today's world, to be a single mother, to be out in the workforce, sometimes working two jobs, traveling. Some of you have worked a night shift and you're here just holding out, getting some word before you go and take your sleep and then go back into the race again. And the Bible even says young men even stumble badly and they grow weary, and yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and they'll not get weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. And I want to talk to you about this amazing dynamic of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16, where David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, because when they came back from their travels and they got back over to Ziklag, they saw three things that happened: arson, thievery, and kidnapping. Terrible, terrible things. They saw that their places that they lived in were burned and all the possessions were taken, and that even their loved ones were taken and carried off, though none were killed, thankfully. So, in other words, it could have been a whole lot worse, but that set of circumstances was triple grim. And it got to a place where, when you read this, in fact, we'll go to it now, 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, "Then it happened, when David and the men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and it had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way." The scholars think that this capture refers to enslavement. That happened to Joseph. You know, he was thrown into a pit by his own brothers, and then he was carried away into slavery. And then a terrible thing for years, Potiphar's house. But he rose to the top, and yet he was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar. And he had a moment of opportunity that he resisted the temptation of it and ran away from it. He got thrown in jail unjustly. Well, then he rose to the top in jail. He asked people to remember him to the Pharaoh and so forth, and they forgot him. So man's help was nil. And if anybody could have been depressed in that pit, it could have been Joseph. Same thing with these guys in this situation. In fact, they did. They cried because of the sons and their daughters. It says, "David and his men came to the city, and it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive." There were 600 men. They were called David's mighty men. And there's a protective response that comes out of a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister. There's something I think the Lord puts in us to watch out for each other. I think that about the church, where we have each other's backs. We watch out for each other. This is, you know, Christian worldview. This is the culture of the kingdom, you know, to be of like mind, of minds and hearts in one accord, to prefer others more than yourself, and to bear one another's burdens, bear your own load. See to it that each bears his own load. But we're called to a measure of responsibility. These were very responsible people. Now, back up a little bit to the earlier chapters. David killed Goliath, Philistine champion. But then something started to tear between Israel and Judah, and the kingdom started to divide. This was a terrible, terrible time in the history of the Jewish people. And Saul was resistant to David, and David had to flee. They went to a place called the Cave of Adullam. Once they found out David went there, the family went to him, and they were all there. And the Bible says they had three D's. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontent. That was the three D's of that situation. And they were in the Cave of Adullam, and they were just stewing. If you think about it and you look up these words, the word's discontent, it's the root word for mara. That's the feminine of the word mara. And that's like bitterness. They were the literal translation, we mean they were bitter of soul. This happened like on a national level with these people. And they were in the cave. Aren't you glad there are a lot of scriptures that show that God knows how to find people in a cave? Jesus was in a cave and he blasted out of that tomb. Joseph was in a pit. He got thrown in a pit by his brothers. Then he got thrown in Potiphar's house, then Potiphar's jail. But then one day he was in jail. The next day he was the vice president of Egypt, and he was doing relief work, making sure people had a distribution of food. Wow. What's on the other side of your bondage right now? What's on the other side of your disruption right now? I prophesy to you that it's something of breakthrough. It's something of profitability for the kingdom of God and the purposes of God. God is into repurposing things. God knows how to make old things new. He knows how to make the crooked places straight. He knows how to take somebody and bring them up and revive them and fan the flames and do more in the end than they ever dreamt or even saw throughout the course of their days. Bible says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of lights, from whom every family in heaven and earth has derived its name. And then he prays and he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And I love this. Let's all say this together. To be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. Come on, let's say it. To be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. Say it boldly from your own mouth. To be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. That's why I've come to church. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. That's why I paced and walked around the building all week. That's why I came out here yesterday and went laps round and around. I came in here, I prayed, I cried, I sought the Lord. This is why I got up at 4 a.m. and reread this. That's why I came in here this morning. That's why I'm determined to instill. The goal of my instruction is edification. I know the goal of the devil is destruction. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. He's all about subtraction. That's the same thing that happened at Ziklag. Burned, kidnapped, stolen from. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm a big believer in abundant life. I'm a big believer in that it's not just an ideal. It's not just a platitude. It's not just for religious people on the weekend to be artificially soothed. I have no time for something artificial. I have no time. None of us do. We have no time for time wasted. We don't just have to float around theoretical overphrasing. We need to get down where the rubber meets the road, because you guys, God wants this to happen to you and through you. He wants to strengthen you with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that you can have unusual signs, wonders, and miracles follow you in all the days of your life. You have greater results in your prayer life. You have greater impact in the interaction you have with others. For the lost, that they're attracted to come to know the Jesus that you know. For the saved, that you have, according to Ephesians 4:29, not unwholesome words coming out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for the building up of the moment, for the need of the moment, for the building up of the hearer. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. The young generation needs to see people of different ages standing and modeling these things. That's why you and I go through the things we go through. David went through some things. This is one of his moments. He's coming through this situation, and he's in a place where he's on the run from Saul, and he in a weakened place and kind of losing his faith and in his way a little bit, I think because of the fear of Saul, did something really interesting, and I think it pushed him, and he developed a false alliance with the Philistines for a period of time. And earlier in the chapter 29, they're coming back from him trying to go out and fight against Israel with the Philistines. It's just kind of a crazy moment. Listen, guys, if you're interested in the war between the states, the Civil War and all that stuff, I just want to say, I think it was one of the most disappointing chapters of American history. I don't understand why it's celebrated. I think it's haunting. And I pray we just remember it in terms of let's never do it again. Because a house divided against itself can't stand. And so there's so much biblical information about us, what can happen if we behold how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in harmony and unity. And for a period of time here, these guys that were distressed, in debt, and discontented, God began to revive them. And they went from being these broken, dejected people in a cave to becoming David's mighty men. Everybody say David's mighty men. But then even David's mighty men, when they saw that the stuff was burned and that God, it agitated them about their kids, they wept until there was no more strength in them to weep, it says in verse 4. Verse 5 says, David's two wives had been taken, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And then look at verse 6, it says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. Most of the distress that comes our way comes through hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. That's why I'm preaching the word to you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray you get this. I pray your hearts would be fertile soil and that these seeds would not bounce off the surface, that you break up the fallow ground and receive and be willing to receive and accept this as a word from the Lord. Because I believe God has appointed me and assigned me to teach you this so that you can become proficient in learning how to encourage and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because to the degree that you and I do our part, it seems to me that it contributes as an asset to the furtherance of the gospel and of all that it entails. It could change the nation. It could suppress evil. It could stop riot. It could rout a nation from a resistance toward God to repentance and embracing the Lord. When Jonah, another guy that was redeemed from the pit of the belly of the fish, and he was the fish, vomited Jonah in the direction of God's perfect will. And I love that because whatever your circumstance, I pray you get projectile vomited into the direction of God's perfect will. How's that for imagery right there? Oh, yeah. You'll remember that in the message. I've got another part that you're going to remember too. How many of you would like to be in God's perfect will, even if you have to be projectile vomited? Some of those of us who've walked for a while, how many of you realize you did get projectile vomited in the direction of God's perfect will? Because let's face it, God is so good. And his goodness, an aspect of his goodness is that his mercies are new every morning. His mercy's new today, you guys. He washed away the shame of our sin. We don't have to be, this is not a guilt-centered culture. The kingdom of God is a mercy-driven culture. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And his mercy endures forever to 1,000 generations. We are in the most privileged era. The theologians call it the church age, the dispensation of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit. He's poured out on all flesh. We're living in abundance that we don't even know. We're living, many of us, below our entitlement. He's given us every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us the authority of the name of Jesus. Chains break in the name of Jesus. A young man stumbled and fell in addiction recently, and he was so ashamed, but he came to church. He was in the car. He wouldn't come in. I was going to go get him. I thought, no. But then the next time he came in, he was really ashamed. I just put my arm around him and said, "Did the righteous fall seven times and the Lord gets him back up." He said, okay. So he started coming. Well, he was here yesterday putting the mulch around the trees, and he's getting support from his Christian family and his family. And he, in Jesus' name, is coming through that stuff. We've got to be the church that stands with one another time and again. We have to be the church that has each other's back. My brother told me, a big tattoo guy said, "Hey, just tell your brother I have his back. I've been praying for him." It's like, that man, that means so much. But in this moment, these guys all wanted to stone David. Sometimes you feel isolated. And David, so here's what David had to do. David, he just had to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. And I've noticed this time and again. It gets down to, and this, in fact, as we are a body, we're also individuals that stand before God with the invitation to come to him. Go into our closet, close the door, do business with him, cast our cares upon him, lift our kids up to him, lift up our jobs to him, lift up our society to him, lift up our own personhood to him, and say, "God, I just want to be as honest as I can be. You know, I need you, and I know you're there to help me." and I cast my burdens upon you. You're my shepherd, and you meet all of my needs, and you'll renew my soul. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So David called for Abiathar the priest. He asked him to bring the ephod, which is the priestly garment of worship and praise. And in verse 8 is so stand out. David inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue him? What shall I do? What shall I do? I've been in this so many times. I had a young 20-something say, what did you do when you were my age? And I didn't want to give him a glib answer, so I thought about it for days. And I was already married and had a kid at that time, and I just didn't want it. It wasn't good for me to overlap my circumstances with his. So I went back to the general issue. Like, I felt as that young man's disease, like I didn't know what to do, but I'm going to get my eyes on God because I want God's will to be done in my life. And that I prayed and fasted, and that prayer and fasting seemed to do something for me. With David, he got in this offering, he put these garments on, and he got back to what it was all about. And he went back to the presence of God. He was the king and he was the warrior, but in this moment he had to be the priest that got before the Lord and put on the garment of praise. That's what I like about services with music at first. I'm not a traditionalist. I'm not an iconoclast where I'm pushing down sacred cows necessarily. I don't fixate on that either. But I think you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And there's something about that sacrifice of praise. Even if you're not musical, I know people who wait until the music starts and they come. And it's like, but if we can move our church up into the understanding and awareness of the value and the sonic enrichment that God made music for, we'll be the better for it. You know, some of you really are enriched by that. Some of you, it's more or less. And that's okay. In David's case, he obviously was very musical. He wrote more songs than Paul Simon and more than Lennon and McCartney. And he wrote songs that were substantial. Some of those guys wrote some good ones, but these are the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, look at the answer in verse 8. It says, he said to him, the Lord spoke back to him, you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. You will surely rescue all. Now, does that appeal to you? You will surely rescue all. So now, I want to show you things that I think David did. David spent time with God. David spent time with God. I missed Patsy recently. We were busy doing things separately, and we were yearning for each other. I was fasting and praying, but we were missing each other. And I notice our relationship does better when we spend time together. And I notice the same thing about my relationship with the Lord. That's part, another thing I like about this aspect of togetherness with church. It's powerful. Spent time with God. Everybody say, spent time with God. You say, Pastor, what does that look like? Just turn off your phone and run to the throne. What does that mean? Get alone with God. Get a cup of coffee. Sit somewhere out in the yard. Get where there's no distraction. Figure out a way to do it. Carve out a moment. Number two, what else did he do? He pulled back. Sometimes you need to have a moment where you like, when Jesus saw that the disciples were fatigued, he said, let's come to a desert place and rest a while. Come, and the King James says it this way, and I use it as a funny thing. Come ye apart to a desert place. So I say, come ye apart before you come ye apart. Isn't that cute? You know what I'm saying? That come ye apart before you come ye apart. Right? Before you've come apart at the seams, separated, get alone with God for strength. Because in his presence there's fullness of joy. And in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I sense it in the meeting. I sense it in my spirit. There is a tangible anointing of the presence of God on the corporate praise and worship. That's why it's important that we not forsake our assembling together, which is the habit of some, but we consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I believe in that Ephesians 4:29 thing that let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for the need of the moment, for the building up, for the great, to give grace to the hearer. We're called to be grace people that impart the grace of God and believe God. Wherever we go, signs and wonders follow. Whatever we put our hand to will prosper. When we pray, we believe we receive. When we preach the gospel, God confirms the word with signs and wonders. That when we lift up Jesus, he draws all men unto him. Come on. So another one would be, he reviewed. Review. Now, this is tricky because we can become introspective and get very negative, fixate on negatives. But what David did, for example, when he faced off with Goliath, was he reviewed past experiences of God's faithfulness when he was a shepherd boy. And predators came to steal and kill his sheep, a lion and a bear, both both omnivores, ready to chew up his sheep. And he said, God delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And so then he comes into this weird place where he's having to flee under Saul, and then he does this weird, quirky alliance with the Philistines. What? And it causes some issues, and I don't have time to extrapolate on all of it, except that, oh, well, it happened. Ziklag, arson, kidnapping, and thievery. And yet, God showed him, you're going to recover, you're going to rescue, you're going to win. This is what he always causes us to triumph. This is the theme for the next couple of weeks. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He always causes us to triumph. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. It says in Romans, the 8th chapter. What things? All the perils, difficulty. Paul said, knocked down, but not destroyed. This is what enabled us when our church building flooded, and it was mind-numbing. And I just, as a young leader, I was like, what am I going to do? I was having enough trouble coping to begin with. And then to have that happen, it's like it compounded it. But yet God is undiminished. He's never changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His wisdom is available. And every time you ask it, he'll give it to you. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Deal with it. David certainly did. David reviewed. He reviewed the deliverances of God and how big God is. And he said, God, should I go? What should I do? And he knew God would be his help faithfully and always. The devil will come and sometimes say, oh, God's mad at you. You don't even want to talk to him. No, David talked to him. He talked to him and he talked about these issues. He pulled back. He spent time with God. He reviewed. And then four, he prayed through what steps he should take. He prayed about it. He prayed about the steps. What should I do, Lord? Okay, now how should I do it? And he invited God's power into each situation. I pray this over my child rearing. God, these are such unique people. No two of them are alike. I want to treat them right. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit as their dad. I want to be present. I want to be somebody for them. I want to help them. What should I do? God, I want to be a good pastor. What should I do? What does St. Louis Family Church have up ahead, objective-wise, that you have for us? Oh, there's so many key things we must know. We must know. In fact, that's on our prayer card. One of the things is clarity about the strategy of the next steps of what God's called us to do. And if we ask God for it, he will give it. So David pursued. And it says that a couple hundred of the men were too exhausted. So they stayed at the brook Besor and remained behind. So then now 400 have gone ahead to fight, which this is exciting because the guys that were going to stone him, they recovered, they reactivated. This is one of the first victories, is those guys that were disgruntled. They had actually learned it at the Cave of Adullam when they were discontented and in debt and so forth and distressed. They recovered faster. They recovered faster. And they actually, those that were lagging were reactivated. That's called revival. In fact, I pray that on you in the name of Jesus. I pray you would be reactivated. Strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened. You sense it in your personal walk. You sense it in your relationships. You sense it in your outlook. You sense it. You move back into a deeper hunger for the Lord and more in love with the scriptures. You get back to one of those great sweet spots of where you're moving up into the spirit. Not just a surge, but a momentum, a growing, a swelling, a calibrating for the next steps. That's what I'm praying for you. And I know that spirit of the age tries to drain you. But look at Daniel. He thrived in Babylon. Look at Paul. He thrived in Rome. Look at the Pentecostals of the 1900s. They thrived in such ethnic hostility and social malady, so much financial pressure. And God used them. It was beautiful. And God's doing it again. Hallelujah. Strengthened. He strengthened them. He showed them what to do. He prayed. In fact, it's super cool because they found an Egyptian that was exhausted and starving. And they gave him some bread and something, water to drink, and gave him a fig cake. And I guess fig Newtons were around then, and some clusters of raisins and so forth. And his spirit revived. And then they they said, hey, they negotiated with him and said, hey, what's up? Well, I'm a servant of an Amalekite. We went over there and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said, hey, will you bring us down there? And he goes, well, promise me you're not going to kill me, and I'll do it. So that's good negotiation. That guy was smart. He had the feather in his cap. He's like, and they said, okay, deal. Everybody say deal. And God will put allies in your path and give you favor. God, in the most interesting ways. That's why you got to keep fresh and in love and walk in the Spirit. Because you just never know who God might want to use to be the catalyst that produces help in your situation. So don't alienate people. Don't keep your head down and your eyes closed. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. Remain buoyant. Stay on fire in the Holy Spirit. Don't try too hard. Don't try to manufacture to be more spiritual than God. That's creepy. Just be led. Flow. Be supernaturally natural. Be naturally supernatural. Learn how to identify with God. This is an Old Testament story, but it brings to pass an amazing idea that you and I can actually be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. He got strengthened. He got direction. The Bible says in verse 18, so David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. And then verse 19 says, but nothing of theirs was missing. Nothing in the inventory, nothing was missing. And David brought it all back. David brought it all back. He recovered all. And then they had to get stickers. And they had to stick it, they had to put stickers on everything that said, this is David's spoil. I pray in your life, you find where you feel like you've been stolen from. Because you know what? That's what the devil spends his time, his spare time on. And he's been a devil a lot longer than you've been a human. And I'll close with this. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're called to manifest Satan's defeat. We're called to resist him. And like this verse, David went, and he took all that the enemy had stolen from him. You can't have my kids. You can't have my city. You can't have my country. You can't have my schools. You can't have the enterprise and the job market. You can't have the culture. You can't have the developing healthy relational improvements. You can't put setbacks, you lying devil, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to build wedges between us, you lying evil spirit. In the name of Jesus, you can't have my country, you lying devil. You got to get bold about this. And the reason I'm teaching you this is so in your personal life, with your thought life and stuff, because that's where my battle is, you win. But not only so that you win and it improves your personal situation, then you realize as an ambassador for Christ and your place and space in the world, you stand on the horizon with all the rest of the believers as someone with a shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the devil. And you stand and you believe God for your generation. And you stand and you believe God for the youth culture to come out of and rouse itself and come away from self-entitlement and come away from the deception and come away from all the things that are chipping away at the values that are so critical that God has instilled from the beginning. And you believe for a reversal and you believe that what the enemy stole comes back and revitalizes and gets strengthened and becomes foremost and forefront. And it's called revival in the church where they recover. And it's called harvest amongst the lost, where they respond and they come in by the multitudes. Fields are white to harvest. Got to a point where they won, and then some weird guys in the 400, the wicked and the worthless men that were with David, said, these guys that stayed at the brook Besor, they shouldn't get in on any of the blessing because they just stayed there. So these were nanny, nanny, nanny goat, big whiners. And David said, you must not do so. David was a man of integrity. David loved the big picture. He loved everybody. He said, the guys that stood by the baggage shall get their share alike. Now, this leaves room for you and me where we feel like we've lagged behind and we feel like we're not all that. That in fact, just staying in the game, just showing up, just pressing on. I talked to the young man that relapsed. What are we going to do? Get all punitive? People don't know about this. Just let them go. You can't let them go. Well, you let them go and then they die. 560,000 people have died from opioids since 1999 in America. It's an epidemic. Church, we've got to believe God for a miracle there. The only hope is revival. The guy that led me to Christ was a heroin addict that got addicted in Vietnam. And he got free from it and got saved. So I have a personal precedence for the hope of that. And there's none of us that haven't been touched by this to some degree or the other. We know of celebrities who died. We know of family. I mean, it's just too real. And it's too critical to get snotty and judgmental. Well, I'm a religious person and I don't do that kind of stuff. Those people are of the devil. Yeah, well, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And this is why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. To rouse you guys, to be strengthened, to win in your battles. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You're more than conquerors through Jesus. When you pray, mountains move in the name of Jesus. You have authority to whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Listen, I prayed for every president since I got saved. Well, the ones I voted for, the ones I didn't vote for. They were my president, and my Bible teaches me to honor that. And to dishonor that is inconsistent with the Word of God. And to not pray for them is a shortcoming of irresponsibility. We must, in our civic duty as believers, use our faith no matter what the biases are, no matter what our political agendas are. At the end of the day, we need to pray for those in authority over us in order that we may lead a quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Hear the word of the Lord. Push past the agendas of man. Get up in the high places and find out what the Lord is saying for you to do. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Let's all stand up and let's say this together. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Say it again. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now put your name in there. I want you to say your name. But Jeff strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Say it again. But Jeff strengthened himself in the Lord his God. One more time. Say it as loud as you can. But Jeff strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Strong, strong, strong.